Well, we're back again at the Scouting Combine 2014. General Manager Steve Keim has been gracious enough to join us again here from the Cardinal Suite. Well, you'll be watching these guys work over the next few days, and he's kind enough to answer some questions. So thank you for coming, Steve.
Thanks, Darren.
We'll start right away. So the Super Bowl is going to be coming to Arizona, University of Phoenix Stadium, this coming season, after the season. Does that impact the organization at all in any kind of way?
Well, you know, every organization has to set goals, and obviously one fantastic goal would be the first team to play in our own stadium. So obviously, any time that you bring the Super Bowl to the Valley, you bring excitement. I stand by the statement that I've said many times before. I think we have a top five venue to play in, and University of Phoenix Stadium is a fantastic facility. So I think when you get down to weather, playing surface, and that sort of thing, you couldn't find a better spot.
Stephen Newman sent in a question. What's your insight or philosophy on how you see of moving up in the draft?
You know, I think it it all depends on whether you're in striking distance of a player that you highly covet. A lot of times, you know, there's a trade chart and there's a certain value that we have to account for. So anytime that you're moving up, you got to sacrifice what you're going to give up for them. So a lot of times, whether you're moving up four or five spots, you could be talking about a fourth or fifth round pick, which we covet all of our picks. You know, if you had to ask me what my philosophy is, I think last year is a perfect example. I'm in the market, in the business of trying to acquire picks rather than give them up. But if there was ever a franchise player that was in striking distance that we felt like we could go up and get for the right value, we would certainly do that.
Eric Holguin asked about Ryan Williams and his future. Obviously, Ryan was on the roster all year, didn't get active. Where do you see that situation right now?
You know, first of all, you know, Ryan is a tremendous talent. He's a guy that's still out on the practice field, shows us the movement skills, the run ability, change of direction is fantastic. Obviously, he's had to battle injuries, which has probably been his biggest issue. And then, you know, last year bringing in Stephon Taylor and Andre Ellington, and the impact that both of those players made instantly obviously put Ryan on the back burner. But he's a guy that we still have hopes for. He's still got the ability, and I think Bruce just wants to see him put it all together.
Along those same lines, on a particular player, Darrell Washington, he obviously still has some legal issues pending, but he's a very good player.
Right.
Is there anything to report on him, or in terms of how you see where he's going?
You know, nothing new. We monitor everything when it comes to his off-field stuff. Rick Knight, our director of security, handles a lot of that. But Darrell is a guy who's made some mistakes in the past. He's lived up to those mistakes. And he's done a fantastic job in terms of his work ethic, being accountable. So we hope to get everything resolved shortly and look forward to a huge year out of Darrell in 2014.
Another question. What do you see as the most pressing need in the draft for the Cardinals?
You know, if you're asking about the draft and need, I try not to put those two words together, because I've said this many times before, so many times your needs in April are so much different from your needs in September, and that goes back to whether it's contract issues, injuries, there's so many variables. But, you know, obviously we're looking for impact players, and I think it's always your goal as an organization to find at least three impact players in each draft. Last year, obviously, Jonathan Cooper, Tyrann Mathieu and Andre Ellington, we felt like fell in that category. Unfortunately, Jonathan had the setback with the injury. But that's our goal this year, is just to find good football players regardless of positional need.
As a follow-up to that, you've talked a lot about best player available. When you run into a situation where your draft board says best player available might be at a position where you're pretty stacked at, I mean, do you have that? What happens in that case?
You know, a lot of times best player also factors in biggest impact. So what type of an impact would this player have on our team? If we're sitting in the second round and we drafted a corner in the first round, most likely if there was a corner and an outside linebacker there in the same area, we would obviously take the outside linebacker because we've already addressed that position. But if there was a significant difference and the grades stuck out, very similar to the situation last year when we were in the sixth round. We already took Stephon Taylor. Andre Ellington's grade was sticking out like a sore thumb. and we had just taken a running back. So obviously we still wanted to stick with the best player available mindset, and I'm sure glad we did.
Jere Jimenez wrote, aside from the physical parts of a player, what are you looking for in a draft prospect?
Character. Not characters, character. And that has been my biggest fear as you look at self-evaluation and you look at the mistakes you've made in the past. So many times that we've missed on players, we've missed on the person, not the player. You've missed on the football character, the passion for the game. You missed on the ability to process and learn information. These NFL playbooks have gotten substantially bigger over the years, and we ask these players to think on their feet. So if they can't handle it mentally, they're going to have a tough time getting on the field. So if a guy loves it and he can process the information – and he's a productive player, that's everything you want. But it's those other aspects, the character and the intangibles, why so many times I think we miss on these guys.
James was asking, do you want to draft a quarterback to complement Carson Palmer?
We're always looking to draft a quarterback, and anytime you can find a young guy who has a bright future. Now, having Carson Palmer is a luxury in that we don't have to force a pick. You don't feel like you have to take one because you have a guy that that has done a nice job for you. But if we fall in love with a quarterback at 20 or our second round pick or our third round pick, and the grade and the value fits the pick, we'll certainly make that selection.
Brandon was asking about the progress specifically of Sam Acho and Jonathan Cooper coming back from their injuries.
Both of those guys are not only phenomenal workers, they're phenomenal people. And their work ethic and what they bring to the table off the field has shown up in their rehab. Those guys are both ahead of schedule. They've done a great job. Tyrann Mathieu's another guy who's ahead of schedule. We got our fingers crossed in hopes of when they're coming back. But we expect Jonathan and Sam to be ready for the offseason program.
How do you evaluate players who might not play right away? Which I guess is kind of a – I mean, you're not necessarily picking a guy not to play right away. But.
Right. Well, I mean, and Kevin Minner is a perfect example. You know, he's a guy you draft high in the second round. You'd like to have a guy come in and give you an immediate impact. But at the same time, we had a veteran leader in Carlos Dansby step in. We signed him after the draft. It was an unusual circumstance, and you couldn't have asked a player to play at a higher level than Carlos. And Carlos has seen it all before, so schematically he understood what we were doing. So Kevin was feeling his way around, I think, more so from a mental standpoint. But what you saw in him in the preseason probably gives you the best indication of what's to come. And Kevin Minner had a really nice preseason for us last year. He was a headhunter on special teams, was extremely physical. So we still have high expectations for him.
Richard England asks about the attributes of a player. I'm sure you have certain attributes that you want to tackle to be so hot, big, or whatever it might be. When you are looking at players, how do you look at the other attributes if they're short in one? How does that kind of filter into all this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we would all say that we like big, fast, productive players, but unfortunately there's about five of those, and they're all drafted the first five picks. So you have to take into account compensating ability. And you go back and you look at players over time that have had success that had holes in certain areas. Anquan Boldin is a perfect example. He came to the combine. He ran 4.72 for a receiver. That's extremely slow. But Anquan had tremendous short area quickness, his physicality, his instincts, his ball skills. He had compensating skills to make up for his lack of top-end speed. So many players, as you go through the second, third, fourth, fifth round, there's a deficiency, and you just have to have some compensating factors to play in.
When you are going into an offseason and you guys are coming up with your plan and you might at some point want to release a veteran player to create cap space or whatever it might be, is there a plan in place before it really all gets started, or is it a fluid thing that you guys are always kind of looking at depending on what might happen?
You know, there's a plan in place. You know, we spend a majority of the year, Mike Disner and myself, looking at all the NFL contracts, trying to build a database of the value that's out there right now for particular players at certain positions, age, all those factors. So we have a plan of attack in place in the offseason. It's a fluid process, though, to some degree, because the market it changes. We saw that last year with guys like John Abraham, Eric Winston, and we pounced at the right time. So there's a time that you want to be aggressive, but you want to be smart about it. And you have to have a plan in place financially. You have to have a plan in place on the type of player that fits your scheme. And then you have to be patient at the same time and let the market fall to you.
Yeah, you obviously came up through the scouting ranks with this team. With your scouting department, has it grown since you got into place? And how does that kind of work? How is your relationship with them and when you're talking to them as we go through the whole season and into this process?
Yeah, it's grown quite a bit. I would say that we probably have 4 to 5 more members in our personnel department over the past year. Michael Bidwell, you know, when we had our conversations when I first got the job, he afforded me the ability to you know, make the staff bigger. He gave Bruce the ability to have one of the bigger coaching staffs in the NFL. And my goal is no different from what Ozzie Newsome did back in the 90s. I think it's great to have a developmental system in place, so to speak, where you have young scouts come up through the ranks and you grow and you develop them in your system. So when there is a person that has an opportunity like Jason Light and he moves on to the Tampa Bay Bucs as their general manager, you have a system in place where you can elevate from within. And those people already know your system. We were fortunate enough to have Terry McDonough in place. We have Drew Grigson and Quentin Harris, you know, our pro and our college directors. So we have a system in place that we'll continue to build. And we have a lot of passionate young scouts, which has been very, very refreshing to be around those guys.
And one final question. And we mentioned the Swede and how they're going to be working out there. All the players are going to be working out there. As a general manager, how much time are you going to spend in this suite, percentage-wise, compared to the other business of the combine that you're taking care of?
Well, I'm going to, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time talking to agents, our own players' agents, about the contracts and the guys that we would like to have back, obviously. But Bruce, myself, Michael Bidwell will come in this weekend. We'll spend a substantial amount of time up here, not only watching the workouts, but catching Michael up on any business at hand and discussing some of our thoughts as free agency is going to quickly approach. And we have our plan in place already. Not to say that's not going to be fluid to some degree, depending on the way the market goes and some of the movement. But it's a great time to not only watch the players, but to catch up on other aspects of the business in-house.
Well, we appreciate the time. Thank you for stopping by, and I'm sure you'll enjoy all your time here.
Thanks, Darren.
This whole time. For Steve Keim, I'm Darren Urban. This has been a Combine Chat on azcardinals.com.